turn to Israel's National Thanksgiving Day passage in Deuteronomy chapter 26. Deuteronomy 26. Picture yourself as a teenage Israelite during the wilderness wanderings. You are old enough to remember how God delivered your people from slavery in Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. And you recall the miraculous provision in the wilderness when God fed you with bread from heaven. And at the edge of the promised land, you observe several men being sent off to investigate the land that the Lord your God promised to your people. And they return after 40 days with their report. It's a great land. It's a great land that the Lord is giving to us, full of milk and honey. Fruit of the land is great. But 10 of those 12 men did not trust the Lord. They did not trust the Lord to lead the Israelites to then take control of that land. And you hear them say, it would be terrifying to go into the land and to take it over because of all of the big and strong men that are there. And so the people of Israel hear this bad report. And they weep and they wail. And they determine then not to go into the promised land. So the Israelites fail to trust the Lord. And the Lord responds. He responds rightly with the discipline of his people. The whole people must now wander in the desert for 40 years. And that whole generation, the Lord says, will die off, except for Caleb, Joshua, and those 20 years and younger. And that's you. And then while you're in the wilderness, Moses is preaching and he gives the Lord's prescription, as it were, for the first Thanksgiving. In Deuteronomy 26, the Lord commissions his people to bring the first fruits of their first harvest when they enter the promised land. We're not going to read the whole chapter again here this morning, but let's remind ourselves of the first two verses here. Then it shall be, when you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance, and you possess it and live in it, that you shall take some of the first of all of the produce of all of the ground which you bring in from your land that the Lord your God gives you, and you shall put it in a basket, and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to establish his name. They were to make a sacrifice of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. They were to sacrifice their harvest. And then in verse 12, they were to give that produce, that tithe, to the needy of the land. Deuteronomy 26, verse 12. When you have finished paying all the tithe of your increase in the third year, the year of tithing, then you shall give it to the Levite, the stranger, to the orphan, and to the widow, that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. And wow, wouldn't you be happy to finally get there to the promised land flowing with milk and honey and to celebrate that harvest finally? Well, this account of what would be the sacrifices of the first Jewish Thanksgiving are similar to our sacrifices today. And our text this morning is going to be in the book of Hebrews. You can turn to the book of Hebrews now in the New Testament to the chapter 13. And our text will be verses 15 and 16. And to get the context here, I'd like to read verses 10 to 16. Hebrews 13, verses 10 to 16. And what we'll see is that we too are to make sacrifices, though not of bulls or goats or of the produce of the ground, but we are to make spiritual sacrifices, sacrifices of our lips and of our lives. Hebrews 13, 10 to 16. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest as an offering for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So verse 15 there, we offer the sacrifice of lips, praise and thanksgiving. In verse 16, we offer the sacrifice of our lives, doing good and sharing. So I'd like to preach this Thanksgiving Day message briefly on the sacrifices of lips and lives. I see 3 points in the passage. First, the means of the sacrifice is Christ. And second, the sacrifices themselves, lips and life. And third, the divine delight in such sacrifices. So first, the means of these sacrifices. Verse 15, through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. Our sacrifices of praise are to be offered up through Jesus Christ. Through him, then, let us offer up these sacrifices. Well, why is that the case? Well, the text before tells us, verse 12 says, therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Jesus, through his own blood, sanctified the people. Jesus Christ alone is our great high priest and the sacrifice for sin. And through his blood, when he died on the cross, he sanctified, that is, he set apart his people for himself. Through him, then, through Christ, let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. Because of Christ's work on the cross, we now then can come to God. He set his people apart for through his death and resurrection. He set his people apart now so that we can come to him, can come to God. Like Ephesians 2:18 says, for through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. Through him we have access to the Father because he's sanctified us. He set us apart for his service by his blood. In Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So because God saves us through Christ, we serve God through Christ. We don't come to God on our own, but through Jesus, through his sacrifice on the cross. And since Cain and Abel Since that time, men have been coming to God through a sacrifice. And under the old covenant, the Lord, through Moses, commanded it to be so. You would approach God through a sacrifice. But Christ today is the final sacrifice, to whom all of those animal sacrifices were pointed. All those sacrifices, Hebrews 10:1 says, were but a shadow of the true sacrifice to come, Jesus Christ. And through Jesus, we can approach God now in prayer and in praise. Apart from a mediator, that is, someone to represent us before God. Apart from a mediator, we could by no means come to God. Without the Lord Jesus, without His sacrifice on the cross, we have no right to pray to Him, no right to pray to God, no right to approach Him or to praise His name in any way. It is through Christ that we can offer up a sacrifice of praise. To utter then any God-acceptable syllable from our sinful lips, to utter any syllable that is acceptable to God from my lip requires an acceptable sacrifice. And that acceptable sacrifice is Jesus Christ. Through His blood, His followers are sanctified. We are set apart for salvation. We are set apart to serve Him. And so if haughty eyes and a proud heart and even the plowing of the wicked is sin, how much more is it sin to approach an infinitely holy God with no mediator? That is not safe. But praise the Lord, we can come to Him through the only appointed mediator, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, our high priest and mediator, has effectively represented us before the Holy Father through His precious blood. And now we have access, precious access to God. Let us therefore take advantage of that and boldly approach the throne of God and offer continually sacrifices of praise through Him. But the Jewish detractors say, well, you Christians have no altar upon which to offer these sacrifices. Oh yes, we do have an altar. It is Jesus Christ Himself. He is our sacrifice, and He is our altar. Hebrews 13, if you look at verse 10, Christ is our altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. Just like under the old covenant sacrificial system, the worshiper would place his sacrifice on the altar. There it is, the old covenant worshiper offering his sacrifice on that altar. And just like that today, Jesus Christ is our altar. We worship God through Jesus Christ, presenting our offering upon the altar, as it were. It's all through Him. We overwhelmingly conquer through Him. We exist through Him. Through Him is our amen to the glory of God. And we give thanks through His name. We glorify God, but only through Jesus Christ. I wonder, do we forget that? Do we forget that the price has been paid for us to have access to God? The precious blood of Christ? Do we casually approach the throne of God, totally unaware that without the mediation of Christ, we have no right to approach the holy God? We are by no means more acceptable to God in our prayers because they are long. We are by no means more acceptable to God in our prayers because they are more beautiful or more emotional. We're not more pleasing to the Lord in our praise to Him because we can sing more exceptionally. No, our only righteous standing before God is through Jesus Christ and His sacrifice, His blood shed for us. And so the means by which we can offer any acceptable sacrifice to God is through Jesus Christ, the mediator. And now secondly, the sacrifices themselves that we are to offer. We have a sacrifice. Verse 15, through Him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. Our lips are to be filled with praise and thanks to Him. Notice first how it's described that our sacrifice is praise to God. We must praise God, whether by prayer, by singing. This is to glory in. To praise Him is to glory in Him, to glory in who He is and what He has done for us. And Jesus taught us this. He taught us to pray when the disciples asked Him. And He said, first, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be Your name. That is, to set His name apart. He has sanctified us through His blood. He has set us apart for salvation. And now, our sacrifice of praise, hallowed be Your name. Your name, Lord, is set apart, is made holy in our sight. And we are to express that very thing, to give Him praise, to give Him honor. But you must know Him to praise Him. And to know Him, if you do, is to love Him and to enjoy Him, which will then result in praising Him. Now, so we ask then, somebody asks, why such praise? Is God really so insecure that He needs our praise? Is He so egotistical that He must be honored by all? No. Praise. Praise to God is the overflow. It's the overflow of a cup filled with the enjoyment of God. An enjoyment of His gifts and of His creation. When you look at the vast creation of God that He has made, the sun, the moon, and stars, and you wonder and marvel, you're enjoying Him. And so you should praise the Lord. If you are in the habit of enjoying God and making your soul happy in His Word and making your soul happy in your service to Him by communing with Him daily, you'll be able to praise Him continually. So praise is simply a result of enjoying God, His character, His works, His purposes in the earth. When I was with my mom coming home one weekend from my first college that I attended, this was before I had trusted Christ, we saw a beautiful sunset. My mom had made some comment about the sunset. And then I said, yes, it's like I need more of what that is. I knew there was something in that scene that I needed. Yes, the heavens are declaring what? The glory of God. That's what I needed. But it was ultimately unsatisfying as I remember that day. It was like I didn't have the beauty of all of what that was. I was on the outside looking in. And why was that? Because I couldn't praise the Lord. In my heart of hearts at that moment before trusting Christ, I could not praise the Lord. I had no outlet for the wonder and the enjoyment of that creation that I saw. But now in Christ, I see the beauty of His creation, and my cup fills up with joy over who He is in that creation, and my cup spills over then in praise to Him, and then it is ultimately satisfying. The joy in creation spills over into heartfelt praise, and in that lies true joy. So it could be you're in a foul mood on occasion because you have not put into practice praising the Lord. You see joyful things all around, His grace under every leaf and His mercies falling down with every snowflake, His glory in every detail, but you're discontent because you don't stop and praise Him for the small things and the big things. So put that into practice. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. And notice how it's illustrated. This is a sacrifice of praise. Verse 15, through Him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. We no longer offer sacrifices of animals or sacrifices of grain offerings at the altar as they did under the old covenet. But we do offer sacrifices. The Jewish detractors come back and they say, well, you really have ceased sacrificing. Well, okay, Jesus is our final sacrifice for sin, but we are to offer sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving. Let us continually offer up sacrifices of praise to God, not just on occasion, but continually. 1 Peter 2:5, you are to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Sacrifices under the old covenant were important in their own right. I mean, imagine that, how important they were. How the Lord commanded that and how they were to bring this and that. Well, how much more after the true sacrifice has come? How much more ought we to be careful to perform the new covenant sacrifice of praise to God? It is a sacrifice. That would imply then that there is a cost. David refused to sacrifice an offering that didn't cost him something. 2 Samuel 24:24. And what sacrifice is it for us then to praise the Lord, to do that? Time? Study, effort, know your God, know Him in His Word, and practice your praises continually in prayer, in song, and in life. Notice how also this is described. Verse 15, a giving of thanks to Him. Through Him then, verse 15, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. The writer to the Hebrews continues here the sacrificial theme. We're to give thanks to His name. That is, just give thanks to Him. And giving thanks to His name there is properly translated. If you have an ESV, it's translated acknowledge His name. And if you have an NIV, it is translated confess His name. Now that word translated that way, give thanks, the New American Standard, is appropriately translated elsewhere to confess or to acknowledge in other passages of Scripture. However, without going into the particulars, Well, it's followed by a dative of person. There, I got into the particulars. Okay. The Greek construction here directs us to translate this to give thanks. It is to give thanks. And the parallelism in the verse shows us this as well. You could see it. Verse 15. A sacrifice of praise to God is parallel to, that is, it is similar to, the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. Praise and thanks are similar ideas. We must be thankful to him. We're not to just have a general attitude of gratitude, but actionable, spoken, prayed thankfulness. To do this as a sacrifice, as if to be an Old Testament worshiper and offering your sacrifice of thanksgiving. So tell it to others. Tell your praise to the Lord to others. And you praise the Lord and be thankful to him and let others hear it. There is no room for grumbling in the Christian life. Let's be filled with thankfulness. From the air you breathe, to the family you have, to the material provisions you enjoy, and eternal life in Christ, what should possibly steal my joy and ruin my thankful spirit? And notice how it is illustrated once again. This is the fruit of lips. Let us continually offer up the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. This is spoken praise, the fruit of lips. This is sacrificial language as well. It's a fruit. This is the fruit of lips. Remember Deuteronomy 26, 1 and 2. The Israelites were to enter the land and take some of the fruit of the produce, the first of the produce. This is the fruit. The produce is the fruit of the ground. And they were then to put that in the basket before the altar. But as well, this picture goes beyond a sacrifice. What goes out from our lips is fruit. The fruit of our lips. The fruit of our lips then reveals the true nature of the soil of our hearts then, doesn't it? As Jesus said, the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. What does the fruit of your lips reveal about the soil of your heart? You must fill your heart then with thankful thoughts and constantly reject grumbling thoughts. It's daily, it's hourly. Yes, it's moment by moment. It's moment by moment repentance of grumbling and moment by moment a desire and effort to put on thankfulness to God. That is what will enrich your heart and allow for thoughts of thankfulness then to take root into your soul. Somebody said when it comes to life, the critical thing is whether you take things for granted or take them with gratitude. So what does your mouth reveal about your heart? Are you a blame thrower? Like a weapon spewing out fire, you spew out blame, making excuses? Are you full of gossip and negativity? You might be surprised if you really sat back and surveyed your speech from day to day. What is it that is coming from your speech? Let's learn to thank the Lord, forsake the grumbling, forsaking the negativity, and to enrich our souls with thoughts of thankfulness. But little children, 1 John 3:18 says, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. And so second this morning, the sacrifice of the life. We have the sacrifice of the lips, and now the sacrifice of the life. Hebrews 13, verse 16, and do not neglect doing good and sharing. When we've been blessed with so many blessings, how could we hoard it all to ourselves? No, do good to others. Share with them. And how can you be a blessing to someone today? And every day, how can you enliven your workplace with the light of Christ? How can you encourage someone who's downtrodden? James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans, widows, in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Do good. Share. Be kind. Don't neglect this. How can you do good to someone? What could you do? How could you share? These two sacrifices, the sacrifice of the lips, sacrifice of the life, are to be offered, verse 15 says, continually. You couldn't say on Sundays, you couldn't say just in the morning, but continually, praising Him without ceasing, morning, noon, night, every moment in between. Praise Him when confronted. Praise Him when there's sin in your midst. Praise Him when you're tempted. Praise Him when you're sad, when you're in pain. Praise Him at all times, when, no matter what's going on. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. And lastly this morning, the assurance of these sacrifices. Divine delight. If this is your practice, you have a marvelous promise for you. Verse 16 says, "For with such sacrifices God is pleased." Oh, to know that I have a life that is pleasing to God. Friend, you can have that knowledge. If you've trusted Christ and you've been delivered from your sin by Christ and you go about through Christ offering a sacrifice of your lips and a sacrifice from your life, praise and thanksgiving to Him, and you're sharing and doing good, this is a sweet-smelling savor to God. You have a promise from God's Word. This is pleasing to Him. And this, your life, that it is to be a sacrifice, doing good and sharing, you well know. Romans 12:1, Paul can urge us, because of the mercies of God in Christ, that you present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Your whole life given over as a sacrifice to God, a praise to Him. So present yourself then as a sacrifice to God, your lips and your life. But you say, well, you know, my voice is bad. And I am bashful or embarrassed, nervous even to speak a word for Christ in front of anybody. Or my hands, too weak to share, or too weak to do good. Too scared to speak, too weak to serve. Yes, but can you not praise the Lord? Is there nothing there to praise Him in your prayers? With your lips when you pray in your home and with your family? Do you praise the Lord? Do you thank Him? You can do that. Can you sing songs of praise, not just on Sundays, but in your vehicle, in your home? Does your heart ever lift up spontaneously with a song of praise that just overflows in your heart and you just praise the Lord? Does that not happen? Well, do you know those songs of praise? You may need to work on that. This is a sacrifice, isn't it? It takes work, effort, time to do this. So what sacrifices can I give unto Him? praising Him in song, praising Him in my prayers, letting everything that has breath in my life and in the life of my family and loved ones, leading my family to praise the Lord. So let your life be full of warmth, be full of the warmth of the glories of God. You are a stone in the very temple of God, and you are not merely called upon to witness the praise of God, but to be a full participant, because everything in His temple cries out glory. So let's do that now. We're going to sing number 5 in our hymn books. We sang this together on Thursday night. And to me, this song, I get the warm and fuzzies, okay? I get warm and fuzzy over number 5. So I hope that that same understanding in my heart will be in your heart too as you sing this together. So let's do that. Let's stand together, sing number 5.
Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom His world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us, with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, and keep us in His grace, and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills in this world and the next. All praise and thanks to God the Father now be given, the Son and Him who reigns with them in highest heaven, the one eternal God, whom earth and heaven adore. For thus it was and is now and shall be evermore.
Our Father, we thank You. We thank You for life, for the joys that You've given us, for the strength, for Christ who is our life, for His perfect salvation, for access to You, for the warmth of Your love, for the joy of Your Spirit, for the power of Your presence with us. And we thank You that we can pray to You now. We praise You. And we want to grow. We want to grow in thanking You always. We want to grow in casting off grumbling words and grumbling hearts, and to put on the joys of thankfulness. We want to learn more to cast all of our cares upon You, that we might have the joy of our relationship with You, even in difficult times. So our Father, thank You. We want so much to know of a grateful heart all our days. praise you so much for Christ's sake. Amen. Thank you. We're dismissed.